The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers,
the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be close to.
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
it. No, Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Full house. Whatever happened to predictability? Is that how it starts?
The milkman, the paper boy.
Evening TV. Strophy, Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo looking at us like he has no idea what we're talking
about.
No
idea what you're talking about.
You heard a Full House, dude?
The theme to the show Full House.
Oh, I thought the milkman was the man that snuck in the house when daddy was gone.
Wow. Is that what happened to your house?
Nope. I look just like my daddy. So. No milkman for my mama.
How about Greg? We won't get into Greg.
I will say my grandfather was a flower delivery man. So.
Oh, nice.
My grandfather was a milkman.
Okay.
Actually, he like delivered old school milk bottles. Like there really were milkmen.
Yeah,
he
was
a milkman.
Yeah.
That was his job.
Do you have any illegitimate cousins?
Nah, he wasn't like that. He didn't have that kind of game.
As far as you're aware.
The Matlofsky game, I think I got. I got his side of the family's lack of game. All right, lots of things to get to today.
Anybody know who Matlofsky is?
0%. I'm guessing that's his.
No, that's the maiden name. That was my mom's maiden name. Was Matlofsky?
I thought Matlofsky,
not like Matthew Lofsky.
That's also what happened in my head. So
is that Polish?
Yeah. I don't think so. It seems like it would be. But maybe it was. I don't know.
You don't know your family heritage and
I did the
where
whole,
you come from?
I did one of those. Like,
you did 23andMe?
Not 23andMe. No. Like Ancestry.com.
Okay. They're not going bankrupt and selling information.
Like with Harper.
Oh, they're definitely selling information.
But. Yeah. That's true.
Like we went through and like figured out and mapped out like the history and all that. I don't think there was Poland in there, but maybe. I don't know. No natural segue.
Good segue. Luck.
From the milkman to to Cooper Flag. So Greg brought my point to light. He walks in and he's like, I have the whole Final Four right. I have the finals right. And if I win today and UConn beats South Carolina, I don't even come in the top three in the bracket.
Like, correct.
And I was saying to Strophy before you walked in, I'm not sure if brackets just suck now that all the favorites win, or if I'm just sour grapes because I'm not winning in the bracket.
I think it's a combination. I think, A, because everything is so chalk. I also think, like, gambling and all of, like, the daily fantasy stuff and all these other elements kind of go diminish the bracket a little bit.
But the bracket is it's so fun. It's like brackets are life in my mind. But then I think about it. I'm like, oh, my God, I have UConn versus South Carolina in the championship today. And if UConn wins, I come in 16th or something. Like, it's...
Well, that...
By the way, that's not just the women's. The men's is pretty similar. Now, if Duke had won yesterday and we had Duke against Florida, you'd have, like, a third of the people would have, like, the two teams right in the championship game.
And I would have been one of them. I was like, even if Duke won against Florida, as I had in my bracket, it would have put me in like 35th place.
Yeah. I mean, I picked St. John's for that reason. I was like, I'm going to pick someone who, if they win, I think I had like St. John's over like the Badgers or something. Like, I was like, I'm going to pick a matchup that if it happens, then I'm going to win.
You weren't even trying, huh?
No, I'm saying it's like, because to me, if I pick Duke versus Florida, then like
everyone's
going to have it. And even if I get it right, who cares? Because I'm like, it's doubtful you're going to be in the money.
Well, then I go back and I look at why it's the case that I have my Final Four right, the national championship right, and I still wouldn't be in the top three. And it's because I was picking a few upsets just in the first round because I'm like, I don't want to go all chalk, right?
Right.
Like, I want to pick a couple of upsets here. And then I'm thinking, why even pick upsets anymore? Especially as you progress through college basketball, specifically in the men's bracket for years to come. Every good mid-major program loses their best players. Well,
I mean, you're saying especially the men's. I think with the women's. So this year in men's and women's NCAA, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure all four number ones made the Elite Eight, and it was 3-2s and 1-3. I think that was in both men's and women's.
Yeah.
So you just had to figure out which one of the three seeds would beat the two seeds. But if you just went exactly all the ones and twos, you got 7 of the 8 of the Elite Eight right.
You actually believe, though, Greg, hold on, that caught my ear, that going forward because of the NIL era, we're going to have more chalk than ever going forward. You don't think there will eventually be Cinderella surprise team? Because
how are you ever going to have a Loyola Chicago again when those guys aren't going to stick together for 4 years?
Right. Like, think about FAU, like all those guys who led that
team. They were
to
all
the
young,
Final Four. Yeah, I'm saying, but now, like, those guys are on like Michigan, yeah, and
Wisconsin,
like,
the country.
Yeah,
we just got one of them.
Yeah, right. Like those guys, like, end up going to the next spot and the next spot. Now, there's still a chance. There's also a chance that, like, someone just decides, like Houston, for instance, right? They weren't anything, but all of a sudden a billionaire decided he wanted to help them get a practice facility, get a this, get a that. So I think you will see other teams come out, and because all it takes is one person, right? One person gives you $10 million for your basketball program, then you can be, that can be you now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, Houston is obviously a product of consistency and staying together, to Greg's point, but they're not a mid-major. I think of, like,
wait,
Oakland.
Why are they not a mid-major?
Because they're in the Big 12.
How many years have they been in the Big 12?
That I don't know off the top of my head. Not super long, but
I think this is their first year. I think they just left the AAC for the Big 12 this year.
Well, Kelvin Sampson's had them so good, though. I mean, that's why they've been so consistent, is the head coach, and to your point on the funding. But I guess I think of, like, Oakland last year, right? They shocked the world by beating a Kentucky team. NC State last year goes on that incredible run. Like, we had a lot of chaos last year. We just had chalk this year. I just don't think that this necessarily equals what the future holds in college basketball, because this is a tournament that just breeds chaos. And we didn't have it this year on either side. But I don't think that's necessarily indicative of what's to come.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think, to Greg's point, it's probably
more likely,
more than less, but it won't be this bad.
You're just going to know, like, okay, so Houston has somebody, they're going to emerge and they're going to become a program to be reckoned with. But they were what? You know, they weren't a 6 seed or a 7 seed making a run. And it still is college basketball. So in any given game, you can have a team that goes off from 3. You can have a bad performance. Like, it's not that you can't have the one game upset. I just don't see those, you know, 7, 8 seeds going too far.
Yeah, Strophy, what year were you born?
Born in 1998.
Okay. So from 1992 until 2018, Houston played one NCAA tournament game.
Really?
They played one NCAA tournament game.
But since
in that
2018,
entire time.
Calvin Sampson's
2018,
had them.
Second round. 2019, Sweet 16.
Okay.
2021, Final Four. 2022, Elite Eight. 2023 Sweet 16, 2024 Sweet 16, 2025 National Championship. You talk about building a consistent program, yeah, but that came out of nowhere. Like, if you look at it, like, I mean, this wasn't like Clyde Drexler and like Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, I mean, this is a long time ago. I mean, that's a long time ago when Houston, yeah, played basketball, and Kelvin Sampson and the Rockets owner together made it into a program.
You do wonder as well, if you're like,
by the way, and BYU could be next, just so everybody
certainly
knows.
Could be. Yeah.
Like,
well, how much are they giving that kid next year? $8 million?
So is BYU a mid-major, or are they not a mid-major? What's BYU now?
Not a mid-major.
They're in the Big 12. The Big
so
12
that's not a mid-major now, right?
Anymore.
And so are they in this group of like 8 teams that are going to be in the Elite Eight next year?
I mean, very likely, yeah. Like, I don't even know, maybe mid-major's the wrong word to use, but it's the teams that don't resource the way that the other teams do.
Right.
So basketball, I do think, is so much easier because you you've got 10 kids.
Yep.
So you do wonder if more schools are going to be like, it's more cost effective. Now, football still is going to drive the most revenue to any university, but it's more cost effective to put together a great basketball program than it is a great football program. It's really difficult to pay for a great football program. It's not that hard basketball.
What about, though, is it more efficient to build a great women's program? Because women have as many people watching the games as men's now, and you could get women for a lot cheaper, like NIL wise, than men's players.
Sure, but you also have to wonder. Like, you did see a precipitous drop off in viewership from the Final Four matchup last year that featured Caitlin Clark to the Final Four matchups this year on Saturday night. And so, if you have
on Friday
that
night,
if you have a transcendent talent, and I don't think that's exclusive to Caitlin Clark. I think if Juju was found herself in the women's Final
Four, and if both games weren't 30-point games, right? Like these were not competitive games,
And over time, like it's going to be hard to duplicate what that was last year. It takes time to build the LSU-Iowa rivalry that took place that was sort of that captured the sports world last year. But yeah, I think that you have to wonder. I mean, let's just take a school like Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin prides itself on being more of a football school than anything else. Now, they are a better women's hockey school. They are a better women's volleyball school. They are better at a lot of things. But they still pride themselves on being a football school. And this year, they're over-under for a win total. It's 5.5. And you get a lot better odds at over than you do under when you're looking at that. At some point, would it be strategic?
Wait. What sport is that?
Football.
Wait. In the Big Ten?
That's correct.
No, just their entire season.
Wait. Kyle, are you aware of this?
Yep, very so much aware of it.
Have you looked at their schedule?
Yeah, we'd be shocked if they went make a bowl game again.
I know, but five
and a half wins.
And the minus odds are for under.
And the
bigger odds.
Correct.
Wait, so the odds are the Badger football team's going to win 5 games this year?
Correct, yes. Yep.
And I have looked at the schedule, but wait, can we go through the schedule again? Can we find 7 wins, Kyle?
We're not finding 7 wins.
No, we're not. We're not.
Wait,
we're barely finding 5.
You're saying
5.
You can't find 7?
Craig, it is.
You're an optimistic dude, Kyle.
Craig, if you follow the Wisconsin Badgers and who they were getting transfers from, they were celebrating transfers. No shot at North Dakota State. It's a great school, but it's North Dakota State. They got a D3 player that came and
we just got three D3 guys. You can't find seven wins. Isn't that getting back to the roots of the Wisconsin program?
Hell no. D3?
I'm saying,
we get walk-ons from Wisconsin, build a wall. They just had a kid, the top kid in the 2026 class, just said, sayonara, I'm going to Minnesota. He's going to row a boat, Craig. The wall has been broken through. It's over. The Mongolians are gone.
Yeah.
He's going to row a boat, Craig.
Just teach me history. Explain to me what Mongolia has to do with this.
Just explain it to me. The Chinese and
the Mongolian, right? Didn't they have the wall? Then the Mongolians tried to get to China and they built the wall or something like that?
It's part of the building of the Great Wall of China, yes.
Yeah.
And they're rowing? Did they row?
The Mongolians did row somewhere.
All right. Miami of Ohio at home.
That's a win.
All right, we got one.
One.
You're going to get two right off the
Middle
road.
Tennessee.
That's sure. a win.
At home. There you go. All right, so you got two. So all you need to do, we're just trying to find 7, right?
Just trying to find 7.
I mean, 6 is that covers the spread, but 7. Okay, so we got to be able to do this. All right,
good luck.
All right, Alabama at Tuscaloosa. I recognize that's a tough one.
No shot.
I mean,
that's not Saban's Bama anymore.
Didn't Vanderbilt go to Bama and win?
No, I think they won at Vanderbilt.
They took the goalpost. That would have been a long walk from Tuscaloosa with those goalposts. Yeah. That would have been awesome, though, if they took the goalposts from Alabama and brought them all the way to Nashville. Like that's like some Tory Lowe 101.7 The Truth, like walking stuff.
That is true.
Like Tory would take the goalposts like to D.C. All right. Okay, so we're 2-1 though.
2-1, winning record.
Maryland at home is a win.
You could win that game.
Maryland,
sure.
Come on,
Kyle. I'm not going to put up a fight here.
You could win that game at home.
Not the ones I'm worried about, boys.
Right. So can I just say,
3-1.
It's the next 6 weeks.
Wisconsin starting quarterback is the kid from Maryland last year, Billy Edwards Jr.
Oh, he got game.
Yeah, game did not go to a bowl game last year. So I'm just letting you that Maryland, I'm sure they could have upped
the
ante.
Where did Syracuse quarterback go from this past year? Does anyone know?
Kyle McCord? He's in the draft.
Yeah, he's going.
Can we get him?
He's going to the draft.
He's going the second round to the NFL.
But he can make more in college.
Can we pay
probably.
Him more? Yeah. That's the guy I watched last year, and I was like, that's the guy the Badgers need. If you had that guy,
I don't know.
We're going to the tournament.
You
next
had
year.
Your chance to try to get him when he left Ohio State.
You know better than me, but you both will know better than me, but I don't know if we got the bankroll for that. He's going to go make.
Call Ted Kellner and be like, oh, this guy,
I'm pretty
on
sure
now.
Ted Kellner's doing quite a bit.
Oh, no, he's, he's doing his part.
Pretty sure he's donor number one in the power rankings.
I think he's number one, two, and three. But I'm saying, but I don't know what all the things we're doing it on, but we just did it on that one guy, and we'd be there, right?
Hell no.
No?
All right, so I'll give you the Maryland win. Okay. Keep going.
All right, Maryland. We got
so we're 3-1.
Wins.
All right, now. Remember, we started off last year, what, 5-2, something like that, and then we.
I don't remember last year. I'm blind. That's it. Okay, at Michigan, that's a tough one.
Nope.
But Michigan,
we're not tough.
Is Michigan winnable?
Not at Michigan.
No.
Michigan
we'll
give
Ohio
that
State
as a lot. You get the win against Maryland. You're 3-2.
Okay, 3-2. Badgers are looking good on their way. It seems like 8 or 9 wins at 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Camp Randall, Iowa. Learned their lesson last year on the road. Iowa ran the ball on them. They now know that Iowa's a running team, so they'll be prepared to stop.
Wait a minute.
They'll be prepared to stop the run.
They lost to Camp Randall to Iowa the year before.
but they'll be prepared to stop the run this year against Iowa. What do you think? I mean, Iowa's not. I mean, come on. Can we beat Iowa?
I think they can beat Iowa.
Winnable.
Sure.
Winnable. All right, 4 wins.
I think it's winnable. No.
Winnable.
We say that every year.
Fellas, here's the problem. Is that, do y'all realize last year, not only did you lose to Iowa, you lost to also Nebraska, and you lost to Minnesota. The three games that actually mean something for a team that's looking to make a bowl game, all they need to do is win one of those games that have been bowl eligible.
You're looking in the past.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, we're talking about this year.
We got worse.
On Wisconsin, 4-2.
All right, there we go.
Ohio State comes to Camp Randall.
It's a tough one. We'll give that as a loss.
They're going to be the best team in the country.
But remember, last year, the Badgers almost beat, like, all the good teams they played.
And then
like
got
Penn
smoked.
State,
there was a key word in that sentence.
Almost.
Yeah, that's
okay,
the
so Iowa song, State, Ohio State's going to be a loss. Going to Oregon, we'll say that's a loss. So now we're at 4-4. Okay, here's where the schedule gets interesting. You got Washington at home. Totally winnable game.
So what?
Those West teams coming east.
Can I ask you a question?
That game will probably be at like 11 a.m.
What about the Wisconsin Badgers makes you think anything is totally winnable?
That's where I'm at too, Kyle.
Win a ball? I mean, they were competitive with some of the best teams in the country last year.
Yeah.
That means win a ball.
Craig, they lost the benefit of the doubt when we lost to Nebraska for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, but Nebraska was good in the 80s.
Yeah, and they're in the Big Eight.
It's also tough, like when you're on a team and the entire team can smell the stench of death like they did last year. It's hard to like turn around from that.
And this year, like we're feeling the stench. And next year's team's gonna be feeling the stench of over 5.5. So that's gonna be a big buzz.
Like, once Van Dyke went down right against Bama and the season kind of took a left hand turn, like then once you start rolling downhill, like that season felt like a loss throughout the entire season.
Okay, so Washington had a quarterback that played the previous season. Though I wasn't the biggest fan of his.
By halftime of the Alabama game, it felt like it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the Alabama game. All right, 5-4. Indiana at Indiana. We got to say it's a loss. It's a program on the rise.
I agree.
Weird to say it, but it's true.
They passed us.
Okay. Now, you're 5-5 going into home Illinois at Minnesota.
Illinois is going to be really good this year.
They sure are.
They're going to be really good this year.
Rep Bielema.
Really good?
Like college football playoff good. Yeah.
I don't know
He's tripping.
I don't know if I buy that. But
you don't think we can get a split between those
two? You
got
a split between those
split
two.
Split those two? Split home Illinois and at Minnesota?
So what does that put it? Six.
That's it. It's six.
There you go.
Wow, man.
So you couldn't find 7. And by the way, two of those games you chalked up as wins, you said winnable games.
Yeah. No, I mean,
but that's also not considering that they could surprise. Maybe Indiana has an injury.
Listening to you two, it sounds like 4-8 is on the table.
I will agree. It is difficult to find 7. Like, or it's difficult to believe in 7. You could find 7, and like you could say, like, oh yeah, at home against like Ohio State.
Yeah,
like we've seen Ohio State come in here as the one. Like again, you could make up anything.
Craig, the tragedy is that when we look at Ohio State, we look at Michigan. These used to be games where we're like, all right, let's see what we got. We can pull it off. Camp Randall night game. Yeah. Now it's just like, oh.
But I have a hard.
But that was last year, though, Kyle. You got to admit, even as bad as the Badgers were, last year Camp Randall night games.
But what happened?
Those games were up for grabs.
Yeah, what happened, Craig, is that what you lost is you found out that Wisconsin no longer has the edge of the identity, right? You used to have guys where, hey, we need to win one game. I talked about this on Kyle Bruston Nortman here on ESPN Wisconsin. I said the difference between this team and the past team is that you had coaches and you had a program that came and played and coached for the W. And so when it came to the games against Nebraska, it's like we're not losing to Nebraska. When it came against Iowa, we're gonna compete.
Yeah, Nebraska's newer, but you're right.
But when it came to
Iowa and Minnesota especially, right? You could tell those games meant less to the team last year.
They got smoked, and all they had to do was win one of those games to be bowl eligible. Bowl eligibility, that streak that we had, that meant something to guys that actually grew up saying, I want to come to Wisconsin. But when you come from, you know, all these different places
and guys from those other schools would be like, bowl eligible? Why does that even matter? Like, the Pinstripe Bowl, the Fenway, like, who cares, right? But I'm with you on all that.
Who,
all right,
Barry?
Real quick. More interested, what are you more into? Women's championship today, men's tomorrow. What are you making sure to watch more?
Equally yoked.
Yeah.
Equally yoked as well. Probably men's, but... I
think the women's almost has more star power.
Well, I mean, because you got South Carolina going for their second in a row versus Paige Beckers going
on
for
a tear
her,
right now.
Her only, right?
And Gino trying to get back to, you know, what
Gino
UConn
trying
was.
To win, and Dawn Staley being like, this isn't just about Paige Beckers. Like, give some credit to our team that just made it back after, you know, losing key players. I mean, to me, the women's Kelvin Sampson, that part of it's compelling. If it was like Houston versus Duke in the finals,
I don't know. Houston made it real interesting yesterday. Yesterday was incredible.
By the way, Bruce Pearl, Kelvin Sampson versus Bruce Pearl would have been interesting to me, especially with the Wisconsin Bruce Pearl connection.
Two guys who cheated in the past, but now
now they realize they weren't cheating.
Yeah, not erase it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love them both, by the way.
Yeah. So, if I could only watch one game, I'm watching the women's game of the two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to see Geno win tonight, even though I love Dawn. I really do. But I feel like there's something here about UConn and Geno.
I agree.
They're going to get it back. That girl Paige is...
I love Dawn, but when I was at Pottawatomie, I did put some on Paige to win most outstanding player of the tournament. So,
nice.
You know, so
I am shocked by 7.5. Yeah, that UConn is such a large favorite. I'm also surprised.
And Florida, they were 2-seed.
Yeah. And I'm also surprised Houston's coming into being the underdog on Monday.
Oh, I'm not surprised by that. Florida's good, man.
Did you see what Houston did last night?
I absolutely
did,
yes.
That seems like a
they
team
shot
that is
really 13 well
to 3 run
in
the game.
Yeah.
But all Duke right. also couldn't inbound the
all
ball.
All right, we're gonna talk a little Bucks when we come back, and then we got Wildy after that. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Jason Wilde coming up soon. Greg Scalzo, Alex Strope, Kyle Wallace, Craig Karmazin with you on Sunday Karma. The Bucks pull out an overtime victory. I was only able to watch the last possession of regulation and overtime because I was at my second consecutive Milwaukee Brewers game. Let's do a Brewers count. How many games everyone's been to this year? Kyle, how many home games have you been to of the Brewers?
Zip zero, stingy with De Niro.
Strophy.
One.
Scals? I'm at three. Oh.
Three?
Three to one to
and
zero.
And your record is 1-2?
I am 1-2 now.
Where have you been sitting at?
Different spots. Like, I was up in the 400s for a while yesterday.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at me. I was up in the 400s.
I was
up in the 400s with the other people.
I didn't say other people. Oh, you asked me where I was sitting.
You went up there and said, oh, wow, life is different here, man.
My daughter's like, wow, I didn't know there were seats up here. No.
Yeah, why do people do this?
No, she's always like, can we go sit in the Euchre seats? And I'm like, I don't know if they only allow those open for some games. Because you would think if anyone could buy a Euchre seat for any game, there would be like random people there every night, right? Do you know how that works, Scals?
I think the Euchre seats are for sale every night.
So like if just one person buys a euchre seat, then they could be in that euchre section alone, and they have to have like ushers there and stuff for it. I don't know. We got to find out about that.
We can learn about
that. Wait, should we fill the like? Should there be a Sunday Karma? Yes.
Best idea you've ever had.
Euchre seat trip.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of best idea or worst idea, I was in a suite for a little while on Friday night, and someone had the idea for a giveaway. Of a Sal Frelick dirty jersey night.
I mean, you say Sal Frelick, I'm in.
Right, but where like it's like a jersey shirt type thing.
Yeah.
And there's like dirt stains kind of on it already because he's like the scrappy, like.
He's the best.
Right. Like, I'm in on Sal Frelick dirty jersey night. You think dumb idea or smart idea?
I love it. I'm in.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Are you now? Are you get? Is it a giveaway?
Yeah. Giveaway. Oh, like, so first 25.
It's pre-dirty.
Yes. Pre-dirty. Oh.
Like so it's like printed on there.
Yeah. Like printed.
The, yeah. It's like all the like that trend that went through where like you were buying shoes that looked like they were already scuffed up, but like now it's a jersey.
Is that
that's
a trend
dirty.
You participated in? Why was that so fresh in your mind?
I can't believe people were just buying some Dookie, some Air Force Ones, and beating them up.
Yeah.
And saying this is the style. Very disrespectful to
that,
the culture.
That was like a popular thing for a while.
Did you participate?
Nelly would have
no. I didn't participate in that. But I mean, it's the same idea as ripped jeans, right? The idea would be that you're buying jeans that are already ripped, as opposed to having them ripped yourself. Like this is not a foreign concept.
Yeah. I mean, it is to me.
Kyle, Sal Frelick of Dirty Jersey Night?
Oh, absolutely. I love the idea.
I think it's brilliant.
That'd be great.
Because I think like one of the things about like when you have a team that, you know, that has turned over and there's some new players playing and all that, like Sal Frelick's one of those guys I think that we all get excited about, right? Like Jackson Churio, Sal Frelick. There's certain guys that are like a given if you're a Brewers fan you get into. And I think to like make people get what his identity is, I think Sal Frelick Dirty Jersey Night's a home run.
I'm super in. I mean, Kyle, you can attest.
Salvatore!
Thank you very much.
He loves Sal. I love Sal, but he loves Sal.
All right, we're all in. I remember, Kyle, we were on the air after Sal's debut. Yeah, and we were in
debut.
On Sal the morning
all-time
after.
Debut.
Yeah, I told you. See, I was telling Strofe earlier this week on Kyle Bruston Norman that I was big on Sal.
Yeah, we've been.
I was also at that game. It was a blast.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we got to make that happen.
So good Bucks segment.
Update, Euchre, those seats are always available. $1 piece on game days. Obstructed view seats, the Euchre seats.
Every day?
Yeah.
I mean,
why are you surprised by this?
Because I don't see a single person in there. And I'm just thinking, like, if you could get the seats for $1, how is Kyle's like, no, De Niro, he can't go to the game. So you don't have $1?
Listen, I'm happy to go to Brewers game. I got one coming up here in May. I'm very excited.
Oh, in May?
That's a like month from now.
Oh, you have one in May? Like, what do you have to, like plan like it's a trip to Africa?
Yeah.
Like, I think you booked your Africa trip in shorter time than, like, to go to a Brewers game.
Well, he's going to some tropical islands soon. He's a busy guy.
Yeah,
he's got
weddings.
He's got
864 weddings this year.
Oh, mister, I told y'all Kyle travels. You guys last week, you were killing me. Saying that Kyle's always here. Kyle never travels.
Constant of the show, it's Kyle Walsh.
Legitimately, I just made a decision when I come back from my trip. May 4th, I said, you know what? I don't get in until literally Sunday morning at 12:58 and I have to drive from Chicago. I said, you know what, Kyle? You need to put yourself first. You probably shouldn't want to fly back in and then drive and go to work the next day when you get home around 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Yep, I like that. But go to a few Brewers games. All right, I'm in the lead, 3-1-1-0.
You're off that day. Everybody here is
May
off
4th?
That day. Yeah.
No, I'm here May 4th.
Oh, maybe it's the 26th. Everybody's off.
Yeah, that's the one I'm
well,
on.
Well, everyone's here. Let's focus on the positive. We got Jason Wilde coming up next. And we have a mystery guest coming up for 7-11.
Already lined up, confirmed everything.
Already confirmed, lined up,
ready
to go.
We're still doing that segment?
This is the earliest you've scheduled
that. The segment's great.
I didn't know we were still doing it.
Carl Ravitch last week, you missed it.
All right.
Ravi was great. All right, we have a mystery guest, but it's no mystery. Jason Wilde joins us to talk Packers next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I say, give me 2 pearls. I need 2 pearls.
So I can get the stuff.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
The bottom, the dirty, that's why I got 'em. I need them strapped and laced and come up out.
Jason Wilde joins us. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. So, Jason, what's the biggest takeaway from the Packers from the NFL owners' meetings? That they don't have one?
No, I think there's takeaways from it. I think one of them is that they're going to open up the left tackle job for competition again. I think that's a pretty interesting development. They've got a first-round pick who missed most of the season with a shoulder injury, so they want to get him on the field, and the place they think they can upgrade is a place where a guy has started 35 games over the last 2 years for them. So that's...
Wait, Jason, we have breaking news going on in the studio. Did you hear the song that you were bumped back with?
I heard it. I don't know it.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm shocked that you've never heard of this song.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Have you ever heard this song before, Jason?
Wait, did I hear, like, were the lyrics like Party Pooper?
What?
No, it's Get Me Two Per. Me Two Per.
Me Two Per. Is this Nelly?
My Air Force Ones.
Yes, it is.
Nelly Murphy Lee, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. St. Lunatic.
That we've established that I'm terrible at
this. No, we're establishing that Strophe has never heard of the song, which is shocking. I mean, this is like a like if you're listening to just like 2000s like pop music, like this song.
Not even rap music.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
like literally
pop
like
music.
Yeah, it was probably on like
one of them other stations that.
Which
know,
state? Like
here.
The Mix? Like I feel like the Mix would play it.
Or I was like 4 years old when it was released, so I should probably know it.
Yeah,
WKTI.
Yes.
This station,
in fact,
before it became country, though. No, I destroyed it being country. I won't forget that. There were a few country fans who were mad at me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? There's this thing now called Spotify or Apple Music. You can listen to any song you want. You don't need to wait for us to play a country song. And you can do it for free. And by the way, if you want a commercial free, you can get all those songs on SiriusXM. I was like, yeah, it's okay. I know you're mad we don't have your country songs, but there's other places you can find them.
There's got to be another country station in the town.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's probably on like Now That's What I Call Music Mix like 22 or something.
Okay. Yeah. I was more of a 25 guy. 26.
Oh, no. Was Air Force Ones in a Now That's What I Call Music?
I would guarantee that it is. That's
Jason, do you know what Air Force Ones are?
Yeah, they're Nike shoes.
All right. See, yeah. Strophe was confused about
it. I'm guessing that charted.
I know what the shoes are.
That it was number one on the U.S. Billboard. Oh, it got to number three on U.S. Billboard Hot 100, like of all genres.
Hmm.
Okay. So Now That I Call Music.
Number 12.
Number 12.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So. All right.
Strophe, this is way worse for Strophe than me, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, no, 100%. This is all about Strophe
right
now.
It was track number 6 on Now That's What I Call Music, number 12. It was also around songs like I Love You by Justin Timberlake, Jenny from the Block by Jennifer Lopez.
Have you heard that one?
That's a great song.
How about Bonnie and Clyde by Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Sure. When I'm Gone by Three Doors Down.
When I'm Gone.
No,
that's since you've been gone.
Saliva 2 years
ago.
Wait.
What's When I'm Gone by Three Doors Down?
When how does that go?
How does he know that but not Air Force?
Because I'm more of a rock guy.
No, but that's Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson.
No, yeah, he's singing the wrong song. I don't really know how it goes, but it's one of Three Doors Down's most popular songs.
I also guarantee that Air Force Ones was on some sort of soundtrack for a video game or something. Like, it's just always around.
I don't know what you want from me.
I don't know either. An apology?
Don't. I apologize for disgracing your favorite song, Greg.
No, just to St. Louis and the entire Midwest.
The Lou.
To take this you behind the gone. Scenes... He basically, Kyle went into Strophe's ear of like, have you heard of that song?
Tell me when I'm here. That's this song. Inside of me.
Wait, keep going. What is that?
This is When I'm Gone.
We put enough trash.
No, keep going. Keep going.
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
Yeah, Craig, because you actually like good music.
Wait, Wilde, is this familiar?
Yeah, I've heard this. I think it plays on the, these guys get a lot of run on the Matchbox 20 channel. Which
sure.
Is right next to the Dad Rock channel on SiriusXM that I subscribe to. So when I'm not listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, or KBN. That's what so I'm hold listening me to. So I've heard I'm a lot here. Of Three Doors
Down.
Me
when I'm wrong.
Oh, I know
hold
this.
Me when I'm scared and love me when
this is
I'm
good.
Gone.
I'm more,
everything
I just want to know more about what Strophe listens to musically, because he did know Don't Be Fooled by the Rocks That I Got. I'm Still Jenny, Jenny from the Block. So he knew that one.
Get a girl.
So,
get a girl.
Jason. Okay, I mean, I know why he was looking at Jenny from the Block as a little kid.
Glad nobody can fault me for that.
Jason, were we talking about left tackles? What was going on here?
So I did mention that. That's why I didn't recognize that song. And I swear I heard Party Pooper as the lyrics, which goes to show how out of touch I am, because actually in my story today, I referenced a line that LaFleur had said in November when we were talking about how Rasheed Walker had kind of turned his season around. And his message was basically, look, he is playing very well. We're pleased that he's playing better. But like I always tell these guys, don't have me pat you on the butt and then have you poop in my hand.
Yeah, I read that this morning. What a strange sentence.
Right. But and obviously he cleaned it up to the PG version, as he points out. But my point, Strophe, is that we probably, if I was smarter, should have seen this storyline coming when the guy's playing well, they're making a march to the playoffs, and the message basically from the coach is, yeah, don't get complacent just because you're playing well, and he does it publicly. So, you know, I don't know how Rasheed is going to react. One of the things that I love about the fact that we have Brian Bulaga on our team is that when he and Tausch start talking offensive line play, we all are smarter for it.
Well, yeah, and when people on the station do that, I just glaze over, and I have no idea who any of these people are. So wait, so explain to me what's going on, because I heard Gabe and Chewy talking about Rasheed Walker. So who's Rasheed Walker?
Oh, stop.
You're joking. You're just trying to set it up.
No, I'm saying give us the
being facetious.
I'm going origin story. Give us the origin story.
So Rasheed Walker was a starting left tackle at Penn State, and he suffered a knee injury his last season there, and he ended up falling all the way to the seventh round. And frankly, he's one of those seventh-round picks that the career arc he's on, he could be in the discussion of Donald Driver, Mark Tauscher, Adam Timmerman as seventh-round picks who turned out to be really good football players for this team. Unfortunately for him, after he saved their season in 2023. Remember, Bakhtiari has the knee issue the very first game, finishes that game in Chicago, never plays again. Rasheed Walker started 15 games that year. He was sharing some time at one point with Yosh Nyman. Then there was a moment when the offensive coordinator, Adam Stenovich, comes out and basically says that Yosh didn't rise to the challenge of competition and that Rasheed Walker did, which is another piece of this why I'm a little surprised that they're viewing him this way. And so he starts all these games, including two playoff games during the 23 season, started all 17 games at left tackle last year. Didn't play well early, but, and this is my favorite statistic, again, Pro Football Focus is not the gospel, but the Packers just gave a $77 million contract to a guard whose overall grade from Pro Football Focus was 65.4. They're also informing their starting left tackle that his job is now open for competition after his grade was 68.3. So he had a higher grade, and he's the one who's losing his job.
And how much,
and
how much does he make?
Barely nothing. Like, I mean, he's a seventh round pick.
Right. So he's making less than $1 million a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have to check his contract. He did get some of the – they do have a thing where if you play a lot as a low draft pick, they didn't have this back when Tausch was playing, but if you play a lot as a low draft pick, you get money from a pool.
Okay,
so
yes,
got more money.
Right. Okay, so this year he makes $3 million, right, because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he'll make $3 million this year as a starting left tackle.
Yep.
Who played well, and they're telling him he's not good enough. They're not like, hey,
well,
let's.
You're gonna have to, yeah, prove to us that you're still good enough, and you're not. You're
and
not
Jason, would you have assumed that he would have gotten a big extension by now?
No, because as Brian pointed out in our conversation on Wednesday, that you know they don't like to pay multiple offensive linemen second contracts.
they feel like they need to allocate their money elsewhere. So like when you look at their history, it's rare for them to have, and that's why 2014 was such an interesting year, because I think Bulaga was on a new contract. TJ Lang had a new contract, and so did Josh Sitton. But that's not usual. And they had a rookie center who was making peanuts in Corey Linsley, who turned out to be a really good player. So I didn't think he would get an extension. I thought Zach Tom would be the one who'd be the priority this summer, and I think that's still the case. But the idea – here's what I thought would happen. I thought the guy's a first-round pick, Jordan Morgan. I thought the angle that they would take, because they had done this to Sean Ryan multiple times, is, hey, we're going to start him at right guard, and he's going to challenge Sean Ryan for that job. I thought Rasheed Walker played well enough. He's not Joe Thomas, as Brian says. He's not Chad Clifton. He's not David Bakhtiari. But for the price tag and for the level of play, he's a pretty good football player. And what I expected is that they would probably have him be the starter this year and then let him walk in free agency and get paid by someone else. And then they would bring, you know, Jordan Morgan over to left tackle after having him start at guard this season. And that's not their plan. And the fact that the GM and the head coach both came out and said that, you know, I reached out to Rasheed. I think he wisely didn't reply, because I don't know how he would feel, but that's a tough pill to swallow for a guy that you should be able to argue pretty effectively played well, not Hall of Fame well, not Pro Bowl well, not All Pro well, but well.
Now let's go back to who's pooping in whose hands here. Let's explain what happened here then. Now take us through that.
So when Rasheed started playing well in November, and this is I feel like I should be a better investigator than I have been on the offensive line, because there was another instance where Domofsky late in the season asked LaFleur. He was doing a very positive. You could tell by the way Rob asked the question that it was a very positive story about how well the offensive line was playing, and LaFleur basically ruined the story. Like, he basically downplayed how well they were playing and basically argued that they weren't playing that well, actually, which was unexpected. And so that made me wonder too, and I kind of flashed back to that as well. But when we asked about Rasheed Walker in November, his quote was essentially, and I don't have it in front of me, but his quote was basically, look, yeah, he's playing better, but he doesn't want him to get complacent. And he always tells the guys, I don't want to be patting you on the butt and then have you poop in my hand, which is the PG version of how that's normally said.
So, I mean, it just basically feels like here's a guy who falls to a seventh round pick who's played pretty well, who they feel like if they don't stay on constantly, doesn't play at that level. And that he came in, saved the season 2 years ago because he was like fighting for his NFL job and they don't believe in his motor, right? I mean, that's what we're taking from all this, right?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the points that Brian made that I thought was significant was that it looked like early in the season, you know, Brian used the word lazy with his technique, and that's what led to him getting flagged. I think he finished the year with 9 penalty flags thrown on him. He gave up 3 sacks, but I think that was, you know, maybe something that they saw that they were frustrated by. But again, he did make right, like he did get his act together and start playing better. Now, whether or not that's enough, again, this is now going to be a competition. But Tausch's point, that's one of the other fun things about having the two of those guys go back and forth on our show, you know, Tausch is the 7th-round pick, right? Bulaga was the 1st-round pick. And Tausch believes, and rightly so, he says this all the time, that 1st-round picks constantly have to prove they don't belong in the league before they finally aren't given another chance. 7th-round picks constantly have to prove that they do belong in the league and that the draft status makes them, this guy's a 7th-round pick, et cetera, et cetera. So there's more; they have more to prove themselves. So if, let's just say Rasheed Walker was a 1st-round pick and he played at the level he did, do we think that this would be the same storyline? Maybe. I don't know.
No, but don't you think it's the same like Brock Purdy, right? Don't you think the whole conversation around Brock Purdy has been different because of him being Mr. Irrelevant. Right?
Of course.
Right? Like, if he was a first-round pick the way he has played in his career, I think we would all look at him different. Like, I don't think it's possible for us, right? When you look at him, aren't you like, well, he's a seventh-round pick. Do you really want that? You're going to pay that guy $60 million? Yes. Yeah. You think about it more system, right? Yep. I think it's it's true.
If a first-round quarterback got drafted, say Trey Lance got drafted, as he did by the 49ers, and he was in a Super Bowl, everybody would be talking about how much he's going to get paid.
Top five quarterback in the NFC.
I mean, top five, franchise quarterback.
Even look at Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold failed with one franchise, got one opportunity, had one great year, didn't win a Super Bowl or anything, and just got signed to be another franchise quarterback for the third time.
Good point.
Right. And he got 30, but if he had played well the last two games of the year, he would have got 50.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I mean, that's how much a benefit of the doubt he would have gotten. All right, more with Jason Wilde as we continue. It's Sunday Karma. Actually, you know what? Jason had 2 seconds, but let's just take Jason for two more minutes, and then we'll get to our 7-11 guest on time.
What am I supposed to say?
Craig making adjustments on the fly.
Wait, what was I supposed to say when – what did they do in the nurse?
Triage.
That didn't work.
Running this show, I mean – You just, Kyle, I'll blame myself on that.
No,
really?
He started down one road.
Let me just do this. Chrissy, we're going to update this break here. I'll text you soon, okay?
Are you talking to Madison now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. As we continue with Jason Wilde on the most professionally run show in all of Wisconsin.
Well, now I'm just confused by the amount of bodily fluids that occurs in the offensive line room, because the patch on the butt poop in my hand line, and then Josh Myers, the now former center, puked on the football recently. Just a lot of bodily fluids going on in that room, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Hey, Jason, what's
Mark
the latest?
Mark Schlereth used to pee his pants.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how they called him Stink.
Where are we at with Jair Alexander? Obviously, I'm just trying to get away from the bodily fluids conversation here.
What, I appreciate your effort.
What is the latest there? Obviously, you know, there's the report out there that the Packers are using his injury to try to free up some more cap space. Combine that with Goody basically saying, hey, like, we'll keep him. We want something in return for him if we are going to get ready of him. Are we still all convinced Jair will not be a part of this roster next year? What's the latest there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm convinced, but I still think it's the most likely outcome. Right?
Oh, Jason, you see a scenario where he's on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I would think they would, first of all, have to get him to take a pay cut.
But he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy when he was the highest paid player in his position on the Packers. You think they would want a tail between his legs pay cut and expect that Jair Alexander would show up every week to play in that scenario? I can't imagine that.
So a couple things, very fair point, but a couple things. First of all, I don't know what his market is. I don't know how other teams view him, and Tausch loves to give me a hard time because he knows who most of the NFL executives are that I know well around the league. But I talked to a bunch of them, and there was this huge wide variance of what the Packers could get if they traded Jair. You know, one said I would ask for a 3 if I was Goody, and then I would settle for a 4 or a 5. Okay, so that was one option. I had another one say I wouldn't even give up a 6th-round pick. It would be a 7th, or it would be one of those trades where I give you a pick that's higher. You take the player, but you also give me a lower pick in exchange too.
Right, like Jair in a 7 for a 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like they did with Rasul Douglas at the trade deadline a couple of years ago, even though everyone forgets and just says that they got a 3rd-round pick for him when they gave up a 5th along with Rasul. So that was another one. Another one said they're just going to have to release him. Nobody, after these last 2 years, nobody is going to want to give up anything for him. It'll be hey, we can get this guy. He's got a lot to prove. We know how good he is when he plays, but we're not going to give up a draft pick to acquire him and force the Packers to release him. Now, here's the scenario, to answer your question, Craig, that makes me think that maybe there's a road back for him. And that is because I think I know he's got people in the building that still want him on the team. Because as one of them said to me, the guy can still play. The guy's a really, really good player. And my response to him in that conversation was, when he plays. And he said, that's a fair point. So, again,
it's a little bit of a
wait. Is that person in the building like part of the maintenance crew? are they a player? Are they part of front office coaching? Can we narrow it down a little bit?
Well, if we had done a second segment, I could have told you in the break on the phone, but instead I'll just have to say he works in the building.
Okay.
But he's not, I will tell you, he does not work on the janitorial staff.
Okay.
If that helps. But again, the key phrase there is what I said, when he plays. And I don't know how you expect anything other than this guy's going to miss some time. Now, I also, from your point of view and Jair's point of view, I can't imagine that he wasn't irritated by the intimations that he could have been playing and he wasn't, right? I mean, look, LaFleur behaved essentially the same way with his injury as he did with Bakhtiari's the year before. Like, he tried harder to disguise his frustration, but I don't know. Do you guys think he did a good job of hiding it?
Not necessarily. No, you could sense the total team frustration, I think.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, and now Jair's the what?
I'm going to come back to that.
Now Jair's probably the eighth highest paid corner because, like, every day it seems like someone's getting a bigger deal, and he's going to be like, wait, I'm supposed to get a pay cut off of that? I'm better than all these guys. And I'll.
Yeah, it's not a great situation. There's no denying that. Yeah.
All
but,
right.
But how much does LaFleur have input into that versus just Goody playing it on paper with his roster?
Yeah, that's another part of the equation. You know, I don't know if Goody is going to. Like, here's what I think. I think Goody is like, look, I can't do this anymore. And look, Goody has an affinity for him. He was his first draft pick, just like Aaron Rodgers was Ted Thompson's first draft pick. But I think he hates when guys are injured and unavailable, and he certainly doesn't like high-priced players who aren't productive, and he gets frustrated with that. So Jair checks those boxes. On the flip side, you know, where are they at a corner? They signed Nate Hobbs, but they had three other guys leave in free agency. Not great players, obviously. Role players, backup players, in Eric Stokes, Robert Rochelle, and Corey Ballantyne. But I would think that Goody will hold on to him through the draft, and maybe he gets a chance to, hey, we'll give you Jair for a sixth on day three, and he adds another pick because you know he wants more picks. And then if they get through the draft and he's still on the roster, you know, at some point he is probably going to have to acknowledge that if I don't want this guy on my team, I'm going to have to not get anything in return for him. The last thing, so I know you guys want to go. So the biggest thing that I'm looking at and saying, I still think it's a very low, low, low percentage that he comes back. It's, and I said this to Tausch this week, how many times have we heard a general manager in Green Bay, or frankly, I don't know, anywhere, say, well, if he's not going to be on the team and if he's not going to be helping us win games, we want to get something in return because we've invested heavily in Jair. Like, GMs never play the if he's not on the team card. Like, they never say that. Like, it's always just assumed. So for him to have put that out there, to me, says, I don't really want him on the team. I want to trade him, and I want to find at least something for him instead of letting him go for free. And I think that feels to me anyway like Goody's stance as of now.
And I do feel like whoever gets Jair is going to get a good deal on him. Whether they get
totally
him for nothing or whatever.
For sure.
Even at his salary, I think he, like, you know, he's
motivated, yes. Wants that next contract.
Yeah,
if
I'm the Packers, I am not letting him go in the division. Like, that's why I'm going to try to find a way to get him somewhere, and it's not going to be in the division. That's what I would do. I'd be motivated there. Jason Wilde, you can check him out with Tausch every day. Weekly Wildy with Strophy and at Jason J. Wildy. There he is, the great Jason Wildy. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
7-11's coming up next. Scal's questioning that it even still exists.
So, he's been off for a month. What do you expect?
No, when I'm on here, Craig hasn't been on here.
True.
And then we don't do it. So I just didn't know, you know, if we were still doing this regularly.
Well, maybe when I'm gone, you should step up.
I asked if they wanted me to.
Do you have a Rolodex of people?
You actually like self-doubted your Rolodex when we brought it up last time.
No, I actually had a great one. I think I told you who it was going to be.
That defeats the purpose, because the whole point is for y'all.
I get it now.
But I
was just told by Kyle, no, we're not doing that last time I was hosting.
Well, the problem was that we had already come to the segment. And so it was a little bit too late.
Let's hear what the open of the segment sounds like.
Yeah.
There's always some great production, new production bits. It's part of watching and listening to Sunday Karma every week is hearing all the new production. Seems like every 7 to 10 years we get a new piece of production. Here it is, 7 at 11, coming up next, Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.